If you walk into a store today, you will find that almost every store has an entire section on communication. Something that has become very diminished in the last couple of generations, the concept of speech. So I thought it would be worthwhile to just spend a couple of minutes talking about what it means to be a communicator, what it means to be somebody that speaks. You know, I don't know here if anyone has ever seen any of the YouTube videos of Adolf Hitler, Yimach Shemam. Anyone ever see those videos? Very powerful speaker. Very powerful speaker. Speech is something that has a tremendous impact. So the question is, why does speech have such a tremendous impact? I remember once that I heard from my Rebbe that he said, there are three types of people. People that have nothing to say, but they say it so well. That's like Hollywood. They mamash have nothing to say. You notice that? They have nothing to say, but they say it unbelievably. Every magazine, every media, everything is, it's focused on this nothing. Nothing happened. Nothing happened, but they say it so well. Then there are people that they have so much to say, but they can't get it out. Certain tzaddikim, they have amazing stuff to share, but somehow, whenever they're talking, you notice they get caught up in their own thoughts, they're not able to express anything, they stutter, they stammer, they're almost like choking on their words. They want so badly to bring out the depth and profundity that they have inside of them, but they can't get it out. And then there's the highest level, which is those that have something incredible to say, and they say it perfectly. That would be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, his whole life he stuttered. But at the moment when it mattered, at Har Sinai, and we'll talk about why that was, his speech was absolutely perfect. And since his speech was perfect, he's still called Rabbeinu even today. He's still teaching. So when your speech is perfect and you have something to say, that's eternal. That's something that can never be taken away from you. And that's why there are some messages that are so timely. There are some speakers that they're so perfect that you never lose what they say. Like, for example, the Altar of Slabodka. The Altar of Slabodka, when he spoke, he wasn't interested in anybody knowing who he was. Yet his message was so powerful that today, in today's world, all of Torah that exists in America today is from Slabodka. Rav Aaron Cutler, founder of Lakewood, Slabodka. Rav Huttner, founder of Chaim Berlin, Slabodka. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Vadas, Slabodka. Rav Ruderman, Ner Yisrael, Slabodka. He had something important to say, and he said it so well that he impacted the entire world. So let's understand this idea of speech. Because the truth of the matter is that in today's world, one of the main reasons that marriages are falling apart, that people are distant from themselves, is because they don't know how to speak. They don't know when to speak, they don't know how to speak, they don't know who it's appropriate to speak to. The main thing they don't understand is they don't understand what speech is. We tend to think that we know what speech is because we talk. I've been talking for such a long time. Of course I know what speech is. But if you ask yourself, do I really know what speech is? Because it can't be that it's just words that come out of my mouth. It can't just be that it's the manifestation of my thoughts. It has to be something more than that. And the truth is that women are better speakers than men. Because women were given tisha kavin, and men were only given one kav, the Gemara says. 10 kavin of speech were put into the world, and women got 9. It's a measure. So you've got most of speech, and men know this. We try to talk to you, it doesn't work. When a guy and a girl have a conversation, it's wild. It's watching a train wreck. When a girl and another girl speak, it's incredible. You should know, men watch that and we wonder how you're able to do that. We don't really understand that. That two girls could sit on a couch and talk for 6 hours, and there's no flow, there's no logical flow to the conversation. We don't know how to do that. We know how to do that a little bit, but we don't know how to do that. It's incredible what you can do. It's incredible. That's because you have something that men don't have. We have it, but we have it in a very small measure. You have something incredible. So I want to try to teach you what this gift is so that you can use it appropriately. You ever notice that sometimes it's hard to trust a feeling that you have until you say it to someone else? Ever have that? It's like I'm feeling something, but until I give it language, it's not real. Ever have that? I think girls have that more than guys. Guys don't really care what they feel. It's not important. But girls, they're trying to get in touch with their feelings, and I see. You speak to them and they say, it's almost like, and they talk around it until they fall into it, and then it's like, yes, that's what I'm feeling. It only becomes real once I've said it. Why is that? Our capacity for self-expression lies at the very heart of our humanity. The ability to express ourselves, that is what it means to be human. So if you even look in Kabbalah, in the Kuzari, it brings down what are the four levels of existence. There's Domim, Someach, Chai, and Medaber. Why would you, again, if I was sitting and categorizing people, I would never say that a person is a speaker. I would say a person is a thinker, right? A person can question their own existence. To say that a person is a speaker is a very strange thing. And yet we know this to be true, that until we say something, we're not really in touch with who we are. So what is that? So there's a famous Gemara, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and I want to share this Gemara with you because I think it goes to the core of everything that we do. The pasuk says, Adam la'amal yulad. That man was born to work. Man was born to work. And the Gemara asks, Rav Elazar asks, what does this pasuk mean? And he questions, he goes back and forth. He said, does it mean that we're meant to work hard like in our actions? Or does it mean that we're meant to work hard with our mouth? And then he brings a pasuk and he says, okay, it means to work hard with our mouth, to toil with our mouth, la'amal with our peh. But then he says, but still, I'm not sure. Does it mean stam to speak? Or does it mean to speak divrei Torah? And then he brings a pasuk, lo yamash ha-sefer ha-Torah zeh mipicha. So it must be that the ikar speech is in divrei Torah. So there's a principle in learning that goes like this. Whenever the Gemara asks a question, it did not just ask a question just because it had a question. There was a havamina. There was something that the Gemara was really thinking. So we have to go through each stage of this Gemara and analyze the truth of each stage. So let's just speak out what the three stages are. Stage number one is toil for the sake of toil. Working for the sake of work. To toil, to work hard. Just for the sake of work. Then there's a second level, which seems to be closer to the truth, which is toiling in speech. And then there's the ultimate truth, which is toiling in Torah, which is speaking Divrei Torah. We have to understand each one of these three things. You know, we don't often think about what a person is, but the truth is that a person was created B'Tselem Elokim. What does that mean, that we were created B'Tselem Elokim? It means that when we look at ourselves, we can understand something about Hashem. And when we look at the Torah, we can understand something about ourselves. So sometimes we look at our own capacities and we can see, wow, if we've got this, then Hashem really has this. For example, if you say that a person has an arm, okay, well, you know what an arm is, right? But let's say you didn't know what an arm is. So you never heard of an arm. You're from a place where nobody has arms, yeah? So you bring in a doll. Let's say you yourself have no arms. So you bring in a doll and you point to the arms of the doll and you say to the person, these arms of the doll, that's what arms look like. Do they know what an arm is now? Not really. Why? Because what do they see? They see a plastic thing with five little you know, pointer fingers coming off of it. And even if it's a really intricate dal, you still don't really understand a hand. But at least you have a closer idea to what a hand is. So too with us and Hashem. We have a hand in order to understand Hashem's true hand. So we are the mashal. He is the nimshal. We are the parable. He is the lesson. So when you look at yourself and you look at your soul, you can know a tremendous amount about Hashem. So for example, the fact that you have something called Chachma, Bina, and Das, the fact that you have Chesed, Gevura, and Teferes, that's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu really has Chachma, Bina, and Das. He really has Chesed, Gevura, and Teferes. So when you do Chesed, is that the real Chesed? No. That's not the real Chesed. That's a counterfeit, an imitation of a much bigger form of Chesed, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chesed. And vice versa. When you look at the Torah, you can understand a tremendous amount about yourself. Because whatever's in the Torah, that's the truth. And it's the truth of you. So we have this tremendous relationship with the Torah. Because Klal Yisrael, Kud Shebrichu, V'Oiraisa, Chadhu. Klal Yisrael, the Torah, and Hashem are all one. So I can look in myself and I can understand Hashem. I could look at the Torah and I can understand Hashem and I can understand myself. It's an amazing gift. It's all one. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke, that was real speech. So if we analyze HaKadosh Baruch Hu's speech, we're going to learn something about our own speech. We're going to get to the essence of what speech is. So let's look at what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does when he speaks. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks, you know, that's some powerful speech. So he says, Yehi Or, and you know what happens? Vayehi Or. When God says, let there be light, light is created. When God says, let there be vegetation, vegetation is created. So that's real speech. You want to know what the essence of speech is? The Torah tells you. Speech is creation. But you know, Hashem, like I said, when he speaks, he really speaks. So he takes it a step further. Not only when he speaks does something get created, but his speech is the essence of that which is created. So the word davar, a thing, is the same word as daber, to speak. Daber davar, it's the same thing. Why? Because when Hashem speaks, he really speaks. In other words, if you could look at the essence of light, you know what you would see? You would see his speech. You would see the words Yehi Or. You would see those letters that he put into creation. So when Hashem speaks, let's get a little deeper now. When Hashem speaks, he doesn't just create. He gives of his essence. And the essence becomes the creation. That's powerful speech. He didn't just say words. He gave of his essence. He spoke out something that was near and dear to him. His will. He brought his will down through his thoughts, kaviyachol, into his mouth, kaviyachol. And then he gave of that highest level of essence into creation. And the very words of creation sustain that creation. That's some real speech. So that's why when you speak, you have to think about the words that you're saying. Because sometimes the words that you're saying are not real. For example, the word safek, doubt. Is that a real word? It's not a real word. You know why? Because in Lashon Kodesh, there's no word for safek. The word vadai, certainty, is that a real word? It's not a real word. Because in Lashon Kodesh, it doesn't exist. You know why doubt and certainty are not real words? Because if you think about existence, existence exists. There's no doubt about it. And I'm not certain about it either. It just exists. I don't certainly know that this shtender exists. It exists. I don't believe in its existence. It exists. I don't have a doubt that something exists. If it exists, it exists. And if not, not. So what is doubt and what is certainty? That's just the human experience.
So we have to be very careful with our words. Am I speaking about my experience, or am I speaking about what's true? Are we speaking about what's real, or are we speaking about what's just real for us? It's not necessarily the same thing. What's the nafkamina? What's the practical difference if we're speaking about our human experience versus something that's real? Well, the difference is going to be whether or not we're involved in creation. What do I mean? The same way that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks, he communicates of his essence, that's what we do too. Albeit at a much lower level, because when I speak, nothing happens. But there is something that happens. When I speak, I create, just like Hashem, from nothing to something. How can I create from nothing to something? Because when I speak to somebody, I create a relationship. And that relationship never existed before. And that is the power of speech. That if I speak something that's true to you, something that's deep in the recesses of my soul, something that is intimately important to me, and I give it over to you, now we have a relationship where no relationship existed before. And even if we did have a relationship before, but now I tell you something that I've never told you before, that's not the same relationship anymore, is it? And it's not just that the relationship got deeper. It's a whole new relationship. Because up until now, the relationship, the nature of it was that it was shallow. But now, we have a whole new relationship, which is deep. But if you want to have a relationship, then you have to be vulnerable. Because you have to tell someone what's in your essence. And that's a very scary thing. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that with us, because he doesn't have vulnerability like we have. His existence is perfect. But here's what happens with us. We're so afraid of revealing ourselves to another that we end up just telling them things that don't really matter. So I want to be close to you, but I can't bring myself to be close to you because I'm terrified of what will happen if I open up to you. Think about those words. Open up to you. Isn't that what speech does? It opens me to you. Exactly like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu took of his essence and he gave it to another and that sustained that thing, we do the same thing. We take of our essence, we give to another, and we create a relationship. The only reason you speak is to create a bond with someone else. Just like Hashem. The only reason that Hashem ever spoke was to create us. In fact, one could say that when Hashem speaks to us, he speaks to us so deeply and so intimately that we don't even know what to do with it. Which is why when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to us at Har Sinai, what happened? Everyone died. Why did we die? Because we felt so close to him that we couldn't exist in our physical bodies anymore. If you ever really involved yourself in deep communication, you know what you find? It's like I'm so like passionately in love with that person that I feel like I'm almost losing myself. I feel a certain kalas hanefesh. Like my soul is just like, it's like almost coming out of my body. That's how close I feel to you. That's a real relationship. In a real relationship, the communication happens without words. Because I've built the relationship with so many words that now we're just so close to each other, there's no words to say. What could I possibly say? Like, for example, an elderly couple. Did I tell you this story before about me and my Rebbe? That I was once at my Rebbe's house. My Rebbe has a picture on his fridge. And on the picture is his entire family at a wedding. And my Rebbe Baruch Hashem has an enormous family. Enormous. And he's, Rebbe Kanayin Ahara is in his 80s already. So his kids have kids who have kids. And it's just, you know, once it starts happening, it's like every week there's another simcha, you know? So I was in my Rebbe's kitchen. And I was with him and his Rebbetzin. It was just the three of us. And I said to my Rebbe, I said, looks more like a tribe than a family. And he said, Baruch Hashem. And then his wife looked at him and she said, and all from two little kids that had no idea what they were doing. And then they didn't say a word and they just looked at each other. And it was for a moment. It wasn't like this long, like 10-second pause. But I promise you, in that moment, I saw the Shekhinah. It was incredible. It was so powerful. There was no words for that. What could they possibly have said? This is a lifetime that they built together. It was the culmination of all the words. It's when the words run out. That's real speech. Because at some point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's speech is so powerful that it just sustains everything. And it's not that he's not continuously speaking to us. He is. The bas kol is always coming out of Shamayim, but we don't hear it because we're not listening. So that's what it means when we say that a bas kol is constantly coming out of Shamayim. Shuvu banim shayvavim. There's always a bas kol that's coming out and telling us to do tshuva. But we don't hear it. But it's always there. What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just repeating himself over and over again? No. He's not repeating himself over and over again. He said it. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us, he really speaks to us. You just have to open your ears and you can hear it. What is the call of Hashem to us? Ve'erasticha li la'olam. Our relationship is forever. So you can always return. There's nothing you can do about it. That's real speech. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I gave of my essence to you. Did he give of his essence to the world? He did. But who did he really give of his essence to? He really gave of his essence to Klal Yisrael. Because he gave us the Torah. Because we are the ones on the mission. We're the ones in the relationship. We're the ones in the trenches. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from his speech with us? He just wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to speak, and now there should be something real with him. And that's what we want too. We want to be so close to someone that when we speak to them, we really speak to them. It's like, I tell my Talmidim all the time, and I'll share it with you. Don't say I love you in a text message. Don't say I love you in an email. Don't tweet it. Don't post it on Facebook. Nobody should like it. Don't take a picture of it and then have somebody favorite it. Don't Instagram it. Don't Snapchat it. Don't do that. Was that what is? Was the other one? I missed one. Yeah, I know. I thought I missed one. Don't WhatsApp it. Don't glide it. Don't do any of those things. Why not?
That's not close to you. It's not precious.
Because what you've done is you've taken the most powerful words that you have. Real words. Ahava is a real word. And you trivialized it. When you say I love you to somebody, look them in the eye. Because that creates a relationship. That's powerful. And you know it's powerful. Because when you look at them and you say it right to them, right to their heart, you know there's something here that wasn't here before. That's incredible. So what about people who waste their words? Or people who lie? Or people who say Lashon Hara? So it's like you had the opportunity to create something and you did what with it? You spoke like that with it? Like, for example, there's a story about Rav Dessler that he spoke, and again, obviously he wasn't saying something inappropriate. He wasn't Chas v'Shalom like swearing. He said something and it wasn't in the cleanest possible way. And his grandmother said to him, you come from a long line of people that don't speak that way. That's pretty powerful. That's what the Torah says. The Torah says, Habehema she'enena tahora. The animal, it's not so pure. That's a nice way of speaking. Why should we waste the ability to create a relationship? What type of relationship do we want? I don't want a relationship where my words mean nothing. I don't want a relationship where my words are haphazard. I want a relationship where my words are precise, where my words are meaningful, where they actually convey the feeling and the thought that I have inside of me. So let's go through the three stages of the Gemara. So man is born to toil. Man is born for hard work. What does that mean? You know what it means on a deep level? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked you to be a partner in His creation. He asked you to be in a relationship. What is the biggest thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever did for our relationship? The biggest thing He ever did was He created us. He created this world. And Hashem says, I can't do it by myself. I need you. What does that mean, He can't do it by Himself? Meaning He desires that we should continue the creation of the world for Him. To make it into a place that's perfect for Him. To make a dira b'tachtonim. He wants to have an apartment with us. He wants to have a dira with us. What does that mean? He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to have a space where it's just us and Him. So He says to us, be my partner. So there's three levels of being in a relationship. The first is very functional. It's very practical. It's a partnership. I do some of the work, you do some of the work. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, I've done a lot of work, and I continue to do a lot of work. I'm being mashkiach on this entire creation. But He says to us, Klal Yisrael, He says, do me a favor. Na'ase Adam. Go finish up the work. Go be people. Go tap into that Selam Elokimness of you and build something amazing. So that's a very, very powerful type of thing. Think about it like this. Imagine if you were in a relationship and your husband says, I love you. Isn't that enough for you? You say to him, of course it's enough for me. But still, I would like some help running the house. So if you're just going to sit there all day on the couch, I know you love me. But it has to take action. It has to take form. So work. It's not enough just to say you love me. And, of course, the opposite is true. It's not enough just to work for me if you never say you love me. That's like the guy that changes the light bulbs and takes out the garbage, but he has no relationship with his wife. I think I told you this Maisa once here, but could I repeat it? Rav Moshe Weinberger, Shlita, V'Yesh Kodesh in Woodmere, he told a Maisa about a couple that came to his house to talk to him. They were having difficulties. It's not uncommon. And he asked who wants to start first. And the guy says, I'll start first. And he says, I don't know what she wants from me. I get up every morning, I go to Minyan, I go to work, I work like a dog, I come home, I change the light bulbs, I take out the garbage, I put the toilet seat down. I don't know what she wants from me. And the whole time, the wife is sitting there like this. Just shaking her head. And of course, you know what happens. The guy says, you see, it's never enough. I don't know what she wants. And by the way, we don't know what you want. So Rav Weinberger turns to the woman and he says, so what's going on with you? And she says, do you think I married him to take out the trash? Do you think I married him to take out the light bulb? I married him because of the way he looked at me under the chuppah. You know, just saying I love you, that's great, but you got to work. Just working, that's also no good. You have to look at the other person. You have to see them. You have to tell them that you love them. You have to tell them that what you really want more than anything is to be with them. That's very vulnerable, but it's the only thing that works. That's why when I'm Madrich Hasanim, I tell them all the time, it's very frum that when you go under the chuppah, it's Yom Kippur, and it's a serious moment, and you can say Tehillim, and you can shuckle like you're having a seizure if that's what makes you happy. But the moment your kala comes walking down the aisle, you stop, you look at her, and you smile. You smile. Why? Because you have to tell the person, hey, this is me, that's you. You should know, Arayom Azen, my wife remembers what it was like when I looked at her by the bedekin. She remembers because I did something not so smart. So she remembers. No, I went. I'll tell you, I went like this. I went like first. I tilted my head, and that's what I do a lot. So whenever I tilt my head, she's like, the tilt. So I didn't know this because nobody was madrich me. But it's a minig for many people to give brachas to their kala by the bedekin to say something beautiful by the bedekin when they lift up the veil. And so I lifted up the veil and I said, "Hey, what's up?" Not my most romantic moments. When I skipped our first anniversary to go to a basketball game with my father, I think she knew she was in for a long road, you know. But So the first thing is you got to work. If you want to be in a relationship, you got to work. You got to be. It's a partnership, and that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to just give us reward. That's shameful. If you don't do anything to deserve something, you feel shameful. You feel like, I know you gave me this gift, but it doesn't really mean anything. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants something that's much more intimate than just giving us a reward. He wants a relationship. And you know, there's only one way to get a relationship. In the world of spirituality, it's called resemblance. You got to do what the other person does. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, my essence, I'm a creator. Your essence, you're a creator too. So go create, go work. And that's why we don't look down at anybody that works. Because anybody that works, L'shem Shamayim, doesn't matter what job they have, that's pretty good. So a Jew who has a job as an accountant is not just an accountant. He has the opportunity to be Mekadosh Shem Shamayim in everything that he does. Rav Yitzchak Breidowitz is Rosh Hashiva in Or Sameach today. They tell a story about him that he was being groomed to be the Rosh Hashiva of Ner Yisrael. I confirmed this story with him, by the way. He was Rav Ruderman's Chavrusa, or very close to Rav Ruderman, whatever. But it was well known that he was being groomed to take over Ner Yisrael. But he didn't want to be the Rosh Hashiva. He wanted to be a professor of law. So one day he finally spoke to Rav Ruderman and he said to him, I don't know if I want to be a Rebbe in Yeshiva. I think I want to be a professor of law. And he had gotten into Harvard Law. He was quite smart. He is quite smart. And Rav Ruderman said, I'm Nogeya Bedover, go speak to my cousin. So he went to Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in New York. And when he got to Rav Yaakov, the way he describes it is, he sort of asked the question, but you know, sometimes when you ask a question and you're not really asking a question. So Rav Yaakov already saw that he really wanted to become a student of law. So Rav Yaakov said to him, in everything that you do, you should be Mekadosh Shem Shamayim. And he went to Harvard. And he became a professor of law in Maryland, in the University of Maryland, for many, many years. He was also the Rav of a shul in Silver Spring, Maryland, and today he ended up being Rosh Yeshiva in Or Sameach. So a Jew who's an accountant is not just an accountant, and a Jew who's a professor of law is not just a professor of law. We're working to partner with Hashem to build the world that He created for us. There is no more noble goal than that. But that's just scratching the surface. There's something that's even higher than that, and that's called speech. And we're not even talking about Divrei Torah now. We're just talking about speech. Because when we speak, we define the reality. That's why when a Navi speaks, when the Navi interprets his Nevuah, so that becomes the reality. Because when a person speaks, it brings their reality into the world. Remember when we started? We said that an emotion, until it's spoken out, it's not so real by us. When you speak, it makes something very real. 15 years ago, I went to Poland. Very powerful experience. When I came back, my madrich, who I was very close to, asked me, how was it? And I was about to answer. And he goes, wait, I take it back, don't answer. I said, why not? He said, because if you say it now, if you give it a word, that's what it'll be forever. It can never be bigger than that. Don't give it a word, and it can always just be infinite inside of you. And I want you to know that I've never described the trip. In fact, my parents always talk to me, how come you never talk about it? I don't want to talk about it. Because if I talk about it, that will be the reality. And right now, the reality of that trip is infinite to me. I can still feel it if I want to, because I gave it no words. So sometimes when you give something a word, it makes it real, and that's our obligation. And sometimes, don't say a word. Don't say a word, because then you're going to make it real, and it ought not to be real. But we do have things like tefillah, which must be said out loud. Like Shemona Esrei, you can't not say the words. You have to say the words, but only you can hear them. But you have to say it. Why? Because otherwise it's not real. It's just in your heart, and that's beautiful. But I have to make something real right now when I'm talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So speech, that's very real. That's much closer to Hashem than working hard. Think about it like this. A guy comes to a marriage, or a girl comes to a marriage, and they do a tremendous amount for the other person, but they never talk. It's really sad. It's really sad. And even when they do talk, they have nothing to talk about. So everything is fine in the relationship. You can't look at it and say he's doing anything wrong or she's doing anything wrong. But that couple is in a major crisis. That's the highest level. Because I think they say that about Rav Yashiv. Because for her and for him, that was probably the most intimate experience. That's what we're going to get to in a minute, because what they were doing was so real that it was the truest speech, was the speech of Divrei Torah, which doesn't necessarily have sound. Think about it like this. In Elul, we scream with words, we say slichos, right? In Rosh Hashanah, we blow the shofar. So we speak, but only with sound, not with words. But then in Cheshvan, when there's no Yomim Tovim, we speak without any sounds. Sometimes, at the highest level of a relationship, when two people have built a life together, and that life is centered on incredibly elevated and transcendent principles, they don't need to talk, because the speech is without sounds. They're talking. You just can't hear them, but they hear each other. When we talk about it, we'll see a little bit deeper what I mean. So let's get into it now, just because you brought it up. Let's finish up. Let's talk about what does it mean to speak about Divrei Torah. So you remember we said when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke, he created the world? So that was the Asara Ma'amaros. He spoke 10 utterances into the world, and that became the world. And by the way, we see many references to that. For example, when Noach went into his teva, what is a teva? What does the word teva mean? It doesn't just mean ark. It also means a letter. Noach went into the speech of the world. He went before the world. Speech exists in the neck. That's where it emanates from, because speech connects two worlds. The higher world, what I'm thinking, with the lower world, my emotion. So Paro is the back of the neck. Am Kishe Oref, he's a stiff-necked nation. Sometimes when we're stiff-necked, we have trouble getting things from our head to our heart. That's the greatest distance in the world, is the distance between the head and the heart. So Migdal Bavel, when they built a tower, what were they trying to build? They were trying to get to that point of connection. The neck looks like a vav. That's why when Yosef and Binyamin cried on each other's necks, they were crying about the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan, which is the point of connection between the upper worlds and the lower worlds. That's why in the Beis HaMikdash, time and space didn't exist in the same way that time and space exist in our world. Because it was a higher world, it was the point of connection. Speech is the idea of connection. So what is different about speaking about Divrei Torah? Isn't that just the same thing? But the answer is that it's not. Because when you speak about Divrei Torah, you're going before the words. You're going to the will. What's more powerful than thoughts is will. Your will controls your thoughts. Whatever you want, that's what you think about. So a person who's flipping through the newspaper, if he wants to make $1 million in business, you know what's going to jump out at him? Any business opportunity. And if somebody's a big sports fan, you know what's going to jump out at them? All these different sporting games. Because what you want, that's what you think about. And what you think about, that's what you feel. And what you feel, that's what you do. So what's more powerful than regular speech, which just conveys my thoughts, is speech that goes to the core of will. And the greatest will that ever was the will of Hashem when he created the Torah. It's the will of the ultimate purpose. It's the essential will. That doesn't necessarily have any sounds. So, if a person is learning, and he's shouting it out with his friend and he's fighting it out. You know, those words, those are real words. But sometimes, if you're just sitting in a Beis Medrash and you're just learning by yourself, or if you come home at night and you see your husband just sitting by the dining room table, he has a Gemara open in front of him, or he has whatever Sefer he has open in front of him, and you just see him, just him and a Sefer, just sitting and learning, there's something special about that, isn't it? There's an aura around somebody like that. It's mystical almost. It's like if you see them, you know you're not really seeing them, but you're seeing something that's before them. You're seeing the truest point about them. There's a very chashuv rav, I won't say his name, there's a very chashuv rav who's had a tremendous impact on Klal Yisrael. And a Rebbe of mine once said, do you know why he has such an amazing impact on Klal Yisrael? It's because in the privacy of his bedroom, when nobody is around, he's literally the same exact person. Except that sometimes he comes out of that bedroom and he shares his thoughts and his feelings with us. He shares his will with us. And it's so powerful because it's so true. He has something incredible to say and he says it so well because it's so authentic. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, his whole life, he couldn't speak. His whole life, Moshe Rabbeinu had so much to say, but he couldn't get it out. He was just trying to... He was trying to access that point of his will because he knew he was an elevated person. He knew that about himself. But his whole life, he had a choice. Am I a Mitzri? Am I a Jew? I'm conflicted. Not that Chas V'Shalom Moshe Rabbeinu was ever going to become a Mitzri. But Lamaisa, he was like, which way am I going to turn? He also had Bechira Moshe Rabbeinu. So his speech, in a certain way, it hadn't caught up to him. But then he reached Hishlemus. Then he reached Matan Torah. He was able to speak his will. It's like if you have a person. Kind of works with the shir, no? It's like if you have a person that shares with you their thoughts, but you don't feel like you really know them. You know what I mean? Because you feel like they're holding back. Because you haven't seen their real ratzon. You haven't seen their real will. So the Asara Ma'amaros were nothing compared to the Aseres HaDibros. And each one of the Aseres HaDibros, by the way, parallels one of the Asara Ma'amaros. They go together. But what came first? Yeah, but what came first? That's what the Makos do. What came first? The Aseres HaDibros or the Asara Ma'amaros? Aseres HaDibros came first. People think the Asara Ma'amaros came first because, hey, didn't that happen first? Not really. The Aseres HaDibros are the thing that's most true. So when a person really talks, what should they talk about? That's the 10 utterances with which Hashem created the world. So when a person talks, when you leave this shir, and you walk out of this room, yeah, nobody's. Everyone's going to be terrified to talk. No, but not to repeat what I'm saying. But when you sit down with a person tonight and you're about to talk, I want you to ask yourself the following question. Oh man, Rabbi Fix is going to be upset at me. What'd you do? Nobody in Talmud Devar is willing to talk anymore. Yeah? I want you to ask yourself, what are you talking about? Because you have Tisha Kavan of speech. It doesn't just mean that you talk a lot. It means you have the ability, in a real way, to talk about the depth of yourself. So just check in with yourself. Ask yourself, what are we talking about? And how much am I showing this person? Am I afraid to be who I really am? And even if I share with them my thoughts, is that the deepest thing I could share with them? Or can I share with them my will? And what is my will? My real will, not my fake will, because we all have two wills. We have an external will and an internal will, and most people show off their external will. My external will is this book or this music or this. It's a very external will. Our deepest will is the will of Hashem. That's what we always really want to do. When you reveal that to somebody, you'll have a real relationship. That's what Chazal mean when they say that two people, when they leave each other, they should leave mitoch divrei Torah. Because that'll create a real relationship, and that relationship will be everlasting. So it's not just about not saying Lashon Hara. That's Pashut. And it's not just about speaking cleanly and appropriately. It's about speaking meaningfully. It's about speaking in a way where you took something that didn't exist before and you created a relationship. And what type of relationship? The most intimate relationship possible.